Looks like an Electrolux. I couldn't find the Louis L'Amour.
What kind of goodies?
For later, when I go out and visit your gypsy friends.
Don't be foolish, Billy said sharply. You want to end up looking like me? Or maybe like a human umbrella stand?
Easy, easy, Ginelli said. His voice was amused and soothing, but that light in his eyes whirled and twirled.
Billy realized suddenly that it hadn't all been spur-of-the-moment bullshit. He really had cursed Tadeusz Lemke. The thing he had cursed him with was sitting across from him in a cheap leatherette motel chair and drinking a Miller Lite. And with equal parts amusement and horror, he realized something else as well. Perhaps Lemke knew how to lift his curse. But Billy hadn't the slightest idea of how to lift the curse of the white man from town. Ginelli was having a good time. More fun, maybe, than he'd had in years. He was like a pro bowler coming eagerly out of retirement to take part in a charity event. They would talk, but their talk would change nothing. Ginelli was his friend. Ginelli was a courtly, if not exactly grammatical man who called him William instead of Bill or Billy. But he was also a very large, very proficient hunting dog, which had just slipped its chain. Don't tell me to take it easy, he said. Just tell me what you plan to do.
No one gets hurt, Ginelli said. Just hold that thought, William. I know that's important to you. I think you're holding on to some, you know, principles you can't exactly afford anymore, but I gotta go along because that's what you want, and you are the offended party. No one gets hurt in this at all, okay?
Okay, Billy said. He was a little relieved, but not much.
At least, not unless you change your mind, Ginelli said.
I won't.
You might.
What's in the bag?
Steaks,
Ginelli said and took one out. It was a porterhouse wrapped in clear plastic and marked with a Samson's label.
Looks good, huh? I got four of them.
What are they for?
Let's keep things in order, Ginelli said. I left here, I walked downtown. What a fucking horror show. You can't even walk on a sidewalk. Everyone's wearing Ferrari sunglasses and shirts with alligators on the tits. It looks like everyone in this town has had their teeth capped, and most of them have had nose jobs, too.
I know.
Listen to this, William. I see this girl and guy walking along, right? And the guy got his hand in the back pocket of her shorts. I mean, they are right out in public, and he's got his hand in her back pocket, feeling her ass. Man, if that was my daughter, she wouldn't sit down on what her boyfriend was feeling for about a week and a half. So, I know I can't get my mind in a serene state there, and I give it up. I found the telephone booth, made a few calls. Oh, I almost forgot. The phone was in front of a drugstore, so I went in and got you these.
He took a bottle of pills from his pocket and tossed it to Billy, who caught it with his good hand. They were potassium capsules.
Thank you, Richard, he said, his voice a little uneven. Don't mention it. Just take one. You don't need a fucking heart attack on top of everything else.
Billy took one with a swallow of beer. His head was starting to buzz gently now.
So I got some people sniffing around after a couple of things, and then I went down by the harbor, Ginelli resumed. I looked at the boats for a while. William, there must be 20, 30, maybe $40 million worth of boats down there. Sloops, yawls, fucking frigates, for all I could tell. I don't know diddly fuck about boats, but I love to look at them.
He broke off and looked thoughtfully at Billy.
You think some of those guys in the alligator shirts and the Ferrari sunglasses are running dope in those pussy wagons?
Well, I read in the Times last winter that a lobsterman on one of the islands around here found about 20 bales of stuff floating around under the town dock, and it turned out to be some pretty good marijuana.
Yeah, that's about what I thought. This whole place has that smell to it. Fucking amateurs. They ought to just sail their pretty boats and leave the work to people who understand it, you know? I mean, sometimes they get in the way, and then measures have to be taken, and some guy finds a few bodies floating around under a dock instead of a few bales of weed. It's too bad.
Billy took another large swallow of beer and coughed on it.
But that is neither here nor there. I took a walk, looked at all those boats, and got my mind serene. And then I figured out what to do.
or at least the start of it, and the shape of how it should go afterward. I don't have all the details worked out yet, but that'll come. I walked back to the main drag and made a few more calls, follow-up calls. There is no warrant out for your arrest, William, but your wife and this nose-jockey doctor of yours sure did sign some papers on you. I wrote it down. He took a piece of paper out of his breast pocket. Committal in absentia. That sound right? Billy Halleck's mouth dropped open, and a wounded sound fell out of it. For a moment, he was utterly stunned, and then the fury which had become his intermittent companion swept through him again. He had thought it might happen, yes. He had thought Houston would suggest it, and even thought Heidi might agree to it. But thinking about something, and hearing it had actually happened, that your own wife had gone before a judge, had testified that you had gone loony, and had been granted a res geste, order of committal which she had then signed. That was very different. "That cowardly bitch," he muttered thickly, and then the world was blotted out by red agony. He had closed his hands into fists without thinking. He groaned and looked down at the bandage on his left hand. Flowers of red were blooming there. "I can't believe you just thought that about Heidi," a voice in his mind spoke up. "It's just because my mind is not serene," he answered the voice, and then the world grayed out for a while. It wasn't quite a faint, and he came out of it quickly. Ginelli changed the bandage on his hand and repacked the wound, doing a job that was clumsy but fairly adequate. While he did it, he talked. "My man says it don't mean a thing unless you go back to Connecticut, William." "No, that's true. But don't you see? My own wife." "Never mind that, William. It doesn't matter. If we can fix things up with this old gypsy, you'll start to gain weight again and their case is out the window. If that happens, you'll have plenty of time to decide what you want to do about your wife. Maybe she needs a slapping to sharpen her up a little, you know. Or maybe you just got to walk. You can decide that shit for yourself if we can fix things up with the gyp. Or you can write Dear Fucking Abby if you want. And if we can't fix things up, you're gonna die. Either way, this thing is gonna get taken care of. So what's the big deal about them getting a paper on your head?" Billy managed a white-lipped smile. "You would have made a great lawyer, Richard. You have this unique way of putting things in perspective."
"Yeah, you think so?"
"I do."
"Well, thanks."